This is Brooklyn's Radio at Denby's Wine Estate for the presentation of the Queen's Award to Surrey-based Limcare by Her Royal Highness the Princess Royal. And with me is Ray Edwards, MBE, a founder and chairman of Limcare. And when was it founded, Ray?
It was founded in 2010 by myself and three others. And genuinely, it's the best thing I ever did in my life.
And one of the objectives of Limcare is to be inspired to achieve.
Yes, you know, when you lose a limb, it's not just losing part of your body, your mind is shot to pieces as well. And quite honestly, anyone can cope with anything if they have guidance. In 1987, when I lost my arms and legs, I became a quad amputee, and there was no help, no information or nothing. And I truly believe that when you have another amputee helping another amputee, that inspires them to get off their backside and do something. And I'm very much able to do that, and now I'm the oldest living quad amputee in the United Kingdom.
And the purpose of being here today?
Well, we are very fortunate. We have been given this lovely building by Denby's, the room, and we have Her Royal Highness Princess Anne flying in on helicopter to give us the Queen's Award for Voluntary Services, which, wow, that's a, well, that's a beautiful...
Beautiful award. Okay. Limcare, I believe you've got about 60,000 members?
Well, we don't have members. We don't charter anything. In the UK, there's 100,000 amputees that are registered, of which 8,000 a year are diabetic. Now, every amputee needs help. So when we don't charge anything, we can't monitor. We just get people all around the country just asking for help, support, and we give visits to hospitals seeing new amputees. And the amazing thing now is we get people abroad wanting help. So we've created quite a unique charity in 5 years. And as the chairman and founder, I couldn't believe it's gone so well.
Absolutely. I suppose one of the starting points is to offer people hope.
Yes, you know, you're in a difficult situation. It's a bereavement when you lose a limb. And it's your families that don't know much what's going on, their fear of the unknown. So we have calls from the families saying, please, can you help? So we send an information pack, and then we follow that up. We go and visit. But the main thing is we're here. You know, no one's on their own. No one's an island. And quite honestly, we're a team. And it's not just me today. It's my team who have made this happen. And without my dedicated team, Limcare wouldn't survive.
Indeed. And the other... The other parts that you offer to amputees, financial help, for example?
No, we can't give financial help. That's not in constitution. But we can sort of guide them and sort of put them in the way of helping people. What we do do, though, is give them support and guidance to home adaptions, to benefit help, to even scooters if they need to hire a scooter, because we're now getting all the wastage scooters come back. So there's Limcare Independent Living, there's Limcare Shop Mobility, there's even Limcare Limart now, where we're designing limbs in modern technology. But we're here, and I understand as a quad amputee you know what it's like.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm the first person to ask, really.
Indeed. Have you got some special projects going on at the moment?
I want to, in my lifetime, before I pass away, to build the Wellbeing Centre, which will be a unique centre bringing amputees together and their families. And if they're feeling low, they can open the double doors and get help from any way they can and go out saying, I'm all right now.
Indeed,
and what
yes.
a gift that would be.
Yeah, absolutely would be. And I think you're right to mention families as well, because, you know, it must be difficult for them.
I think they run the hardest task of coping with the frustration from a human being. And, you know, this can cause drinking, this can cause divorces and everything. And I've been through the lot. So if I can sort of reduce that and give someone a bit of harmony and hope and pleasure and create a better quality of life, isn't that a wonderful gift?
Absolutely it is. And I was reading that amputees, their energy levels are so much, they have a higher demand for energy.
Oh, yes. Well, can you imagine when you lose your real limb, your residual limb, you're using an artificial limb, but you're putting a lot of power on one limb. So as a four-limb person, my God, my power is going on, you know. And I'm 61 now, and how I kept going, I don't know. But, you know, it's just a gift God sent me, and so I'm here to do my job.
Have you had special demand from the services?
You know, a lot of people ask me that. Out of the services, there's 700 military personnel that have lost a limb, but there's 100-odd thousand civilians. But who gets the best help? The military. But, you know, they still become civilians, so we'll all help anyone. There's no worries with us. We don't draw the line.
No, indeed, no. If people... I mean, sorry, I was going to think also, you have support groups, presumably, around the country?
We have ambassadors all around the country that will sort of recruit their own team. But there are support groups in hospitals that build limbs, and they're called user groups. And we will always be the hub. So if they need any information or they want us to visit, we, of course, will do. But, you know, on a growth rate we are at 5 years' time, what will happen next year? And it'll go on. And it's on an increase of amputees through diabetes. So it's just so busy. And we need these people. Yes. So if anyone wants to help us, we do need your help, able-bodied or anything.
And how would people get in contact with you to offer help?
Well, we have a website called www.limbcare.org. We have an email called info@limbcare or phone our number 0800 052 1174. But the best thing is to ring us, talk to us and see if you can help us. Financially, we need fundraising. We need benefit officers. We need people that can say, come on, we can help you. The biggest thing is the corporates. Mm-hmm. If a corporate can back us, we can do more work and help more people.
Thank you very much. I've had the pleasure of talking to Ray Edwards, MBE, founder and chairman of Limbcare. Ray, I wish you all the very best in this fantastic achievement, and congratulations for this afternoon too.
Thank you very much. It's been lovely to talk to you and the listeners. Thank you.
I have the pleasure to be with Councillor Paul Bettison, leader of Bracknell Forest Council, who made the original proposal. And I have the pleasure of having him with me at the moment.
Hello. Yes, it's a great day for us all here today to support Limbcare as they receive their Queen's Award from the Princess Royal. It's a wonderful day, and it's lovely to see the sun shining on such a great event. One of the reasons why I nominated Limbcare was I've been tremendously impressed by Ray and his team since the organisation was first founded by him. I've known Ray for quite a time now, certainly before he started Limbcare, when it was just an idea in his mind. He is a resident of my authority. He lives in Sandhurst in Berkshire, and that's part of Bracknell Forest. So when I was invited to make a nomination for the Queen's Award, because I've worked with Ray and with Limbcare, immediately nominated him and them, without realising at the time that Limbcare works from its offices in Camberley, which is in Surrey. And the organisers of the Queen's Award contacted my authority and said, well, thank you for the nomination, but he's not actually yours. So, we said, well, that doesn't really matter, which county it goes through. The most important thing is the charity and the excellent work that they do, that it'll be recognised by the Queen's Award, because frankly the Queen's Award is a national award, and the route it takes to get the nomination to the powers that be is secondary to the result. And the result is that we're here today to see the award be presented, and that itself is just magnificent. Limbcare are a group of fantastic individuals led and inspired by Ray. Ray is, as most people know, a quad amputee. He has suffered and risen above more challenges than many of us could even imagine. And he does an incredible amount of work. He is tireless. I've worked with Ray where we've worked together during the day. He's gone through the evening, and at 5 a.m. we're still talking about plans for Limbcare. And then, you know, we go to our rooms in the hotel, and at 7:30 he's down for breakfast. Yes. Yeah, the guy is incredible. He is an absolute inspiration to all around him. And of course that's exactly what Limbcare is about. It's about helping people come to terms with losing a limb or more, and not only about the practicalities of dealing with it, but their mental state in reorganizing their thoughts around their life. And also, of course, Ray is living evidence that, you know, just because you've lost all four limbs makes not a scrap of difference to you doing everything that you want to do.
One of the other things, of course, that Limcare support are support to the families.
Yes, that's true. And as Ray himself will tell anyone who he's talking to about the subject, obviously having a member of your family become suddenly have this life-changing disability. And I use the term disability advisedly, because by the time Ray has finished with people, they're not disabled any longer. You know, they're different, but actually he doesn't allow them to allow their disability to bother them. And part of that is getting their families thinking about things differently, getting them to accept what is there, and that obviously no matter what you do, you can't undo what's been done. So it is a very often with people who have supportive families, it's a team effort. And Ray is there to demonstrate, you know, how families can help. But it is wonderful, and I'm just so thrilled that people who work in charities such as Limcare, who give hours and days and months of their time freely and generously, and that some of these people are really talented people, and they give their time freely, and it's lovely to see the nation actually give them just a word of thanks. And this is what today is. It's a huge word of thanks from the people that Limcare help. And I think that's super. And I'm here as a representative of 112,000 people that I represent politically to thank Ray and his team. And he always refers to his team. And they are a team. They're just tremendous. But every team needs a leader. And he's that one.
Perhaps in conclusion, give us some sort of insight. When you say you made a nomination and the palace contacted you, what sort of goes on when one makes a nomination?
I don't pretend to know what happens in the intervening months.
Is there a form to complete?
There is initially a form to complete and a covering letter to write. But thereafter, you know, it just goes into the mill. And I know that there's an awful lot of checking up to make sure that the nomination isn't just for a friend, you know, but it is a real nomination for somebody who really deserves it. And of course, these days, there are a lot of nominations. So simply to be nominated isn't a guarantee that you'll get an award. To be nominated is, of course, proof of recognition locally, that someone's recognised the good work that you do. But by the time it's gone through the various elements of checking and then being judged, what sort of an effect you have on people's lives and outcomes, and so on. By the time it's gone through all that, several months have elapsed, and very often the people who've made the initial nomination have almost forgotten they did it. And then suddenly, you know, the first thing you hear is the good news.
And how did you hear the good news?
Oh, Ray phoned me.
Oh,
well, I also had the pleasure and privilege of writing a letter in support when Ray was nominated for an MBE. And I guess he put two and two together and thought that I might have had a hand in this. So, it was my pleasure and my privilege. And I know that in making the nomination, I was simply speaking on behalf of countless other people, all of whom would have done it if they had the opportunity.
Well, it certainly is a wonderful day today, and we look forward to the arrival of HRH, the Princess Royal, as she arrives by helicopter fairly soon. And I just want to thank Councillor Paul Betterson, who is leader of Bracknell Forest Council, for his insight into how this wonderful day came about. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
With me now is Elizabeth Kennedy, who is the High Sheriff of Surrey. Have I got that correct?
You have.
All right then. And it's nice for you to be here at this wonderful event today with the presentation to Limcare of the Queen's Award, and particularly with Her Royal Highness the Princess Royal being here. And you're here representing the County of Surrey, I believe.
Yes, well, the High Sheriff's, one of the High Sheriff's role is to greet a royal member when they come into the county. So every time a royal member of the royal family comes into the county, then I will be here to greet them.
And is this a regular occurrence, Elizabeth?
Well, since I've been the High Sheriff, I think this is my 21st visit, yes.
Yes. Last week, did I see Prince Charles was at Walton?
Correct, yes. I was there too.
Yes. And how do you become a High Sheriff?
Well, it's an honour.
Yes.
So like any other honour, you don't actually know about it until you are asked whether you would be prepared to do it. Mm. And there is a process that the current High Sheriff has to go through, which I've had to do, working with a nomination panel in the county to find a suitable name to nominate 4 years down the line. And I've recently been through that exercise, and the nomination panel agreed with me two or three names that I could think about offering it to. And it is a matter of offering it because it's a non-political role and it has no budget and it's a voluntary role, and so you really have to be prepared to give up a year of your life to do it and to support it financially.
Yeah, indeed, yes. And so you need to be, it sounds like, retired to undertake this.
Well, not everybody is, but I think it's desirable. Probably, if you are, or certainly if you have a lot of gaps in your diary, because I think it's a role that people like you to come along to, you know, and represent the county for. And if you don't have time to do that, then that's quite difficult. So for me, it's a matter of giving up a year of my life to do the role.
Indeed, yes. And it could be for a male or a female. It could be...
It is for either, of course. There are nearly as many women doing it now as men. It is a role that, of course, used not to be done largely by women until about 1975. There have been 9 female High Sheriffs of Surrey. However, the first ever female sheriff was, in fact, in 1216, when King John gave the keys of Lincolnshire Castle to Lady de la Haye, basically on the basis that he could get them back from her quite quickly. And I think she was a lady in her 60s and quite tough, so the story goes.
Oh, right, so this is a position that goes back through the annals of history.
It's more than 1,000 years old.
Yes, and you're wearing a very nice sort of pendant, well, not a pendant, what would you call
it? Well, it is the badge of office. This particular one has been designed for Surrey. It's got 11 prongs to it, which represent the 11 districts and boroughs of Surrey. It has the Surrey crest on it. It has a crown on it because it's a royal appointment. And in the middle, it has a sword, a blunt sword of justice, and a quill pen for writing the laws. And around the side of that, in Latin, it says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
How wonderful. Yeah. And do you have like a gown or a headgear to wear for certain occasions?
Yeah, we have a uniform. It is the traditional court dress that would have been worn by sheriffs, hundreds of years ago. For the men, it's breeches and tights.
Right.
Ladies are allowed to adapt the male costume. So it's a velvet jacket with steel cut buttons. I've also got a velvet skirt. We wear special, what I call pantomime shoes with buckles on. And we have a jabot, which is the lace at the collar and the cuffs. And ladies wear a large hat with ostrich feathers on.
Well, without giving too much away, in this sort of security situation we're in, you've got another one coming up, have you? Another event?
There are two or three that I'm aware of coming up soon, yes.
Yes. Okay, then.
All right.
Well, it's been lovely to speak to you, Elizabeth. Thank you for that interesting insight into your role.
My pleasure.
Her Royal Highness is now presenting the citation.